Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
And good evening, wherever you are on our luscious planet.
Yes, it's pretty luscious here in New Jersey today. It's green, very green.
This morning was really fun. We decided to sit outside on our back porch and a deck and eat some breakfast. And while we were there,
we had a visitor join us.
A 10-point buck, meaning a
male white-tailed deer.
Who had this huge rack. It's still in velvet, but he was having breakfast with us.
Right. He was just eating different things.
Yeah. But we are happy that we have stuff in our backyard that he
attracts him so we could see him.
Yeah.
He was here last week sometime with his brother, an equally gorgeous creature.
Yeah, they are twins for sure.
Right.
So, Shia and I are clearly in this moment living our lives as our idea. Today's show is about living your life as though it's your idea.
Now, look, we finish each other's sentences.
We do.
And the most important thing you can get out of today is to discover how to listen. Because listening will create your life as though it's your idea. If you truly listen to what life brings you in each moment, you'll become enlightened without doing anything to get there. All it takes is not judging what you hear through what you already know, which is not so easy as it sounds, because your mind is so quick and it wants to fill in just the way my wife wants to fill in right now. Go.
I just had a flash, which is perfect. That we've been together for 37 years and
we like each other.
We do.
And still.
We work together a lot. A lot of you are longtime listeners of the show. You may have even listened to every single episode. And we tend to talk about listening on every episode. And I realized recently in a couple of international conference calls we've had, we've been doing Zoom videos lately and Monday nights and coaching for the High School of Language and Innovation, and et cetera, that Shia will speak up and say something, and it'll be new. What he says is new. And I'm often really taken by how his perspective comes from a different, but parallel, perhaps, natural knowing than mine, and how people will speak up and say, wow, Shia, that was really profound. Here's what opened for me or unlocked for me or what I see out of what you say. You can either treat our conversation about listening as though, yeah, this is the part we have to get through in order to get on with this show, or you can treat this conversation about listening as if it's your idea.
Hey, we're doing a whole weekend seminar called The Art of Listening.
Power of Listening. We did do The Art of Listening in the past, but we realized the upgrade version is The Power of Listening.
Okay, but I'm saying that if you think you have listening down, I have to keep on reinventing myself around listening. Because I have a very quick mind that thinks it knows what's going to happen next.
I love that. Reinventing yourself around listening rather than presupposing you know how to listen or you don't know how to listen.
Right.
Reinventing yourself in the moment.
That's right. So to truly listen, you have to let go of what you know or believe to be true to hear what another person has to say. And you see this in the political arena all the time. People talk, but nobody listens. At least the people that are talking to each other aren't listening to each other because they're trying to hold on to what they want to say. And the second principle of instantaneous transformation is that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So if your mind is full with what you want to say and are holding that, then nothing new can come into it because the space is already preoccupied with what you're trying to hold on to say in the future. So To truly listen, you have to let go, which is really cool, of what you think you know to discover what's possible. You know, this reminds me of a fellow who comes to our seminars every once in a while on Monday nights and seminars as well, who thinks he knows what we're talking about and then doesn't listen to his wife. It's very interesting. It's selective listening. You've got to listen to everybody, including you. I mean, you don't have to. Excuse me. That's not true. It's not a directive. But your life would open if you did. And if you don't, you've got same old forever. You know, a few days ago, Ariel asked me to take down a tree in our backyard that was shading our hydrangea tree. So the hydrangea tree each year is shrinking a little bit because it's not getting as much sunlight because this other tree is overtaking it.
And the tree is actually one that was in our woods that was once a little volunteer way back when. In fact, it was one we wrote about in the Being Here book many years ago because a groundhog
climbed up
the tree, which seemed odd because it was a groundhog. But now it had gotten bigger and was intruding on our yard.
So this morning, I removed it. But not only did I remove it, I mean, I cut it into stove lengths, you know.
Wood stove. That's the word
length,
you're looking for.
Sizes, so it could be used, so it won't go to waste come winter. And I removed all the limbs, and so the area is clean of it. It's like it never existed there. It was a complete...
embracing fully that this was a task that you were giving yourself, so it wasn't even a task. It wasn't a honeydew.
It didn't come from you.
Right.
It came from me to take it down as though it was my idea. When you live your life as though it's your idea, everything is fun. I was taken by how good I was with a chainsaw. You know, how I notched it in such a way and left a little bit hanging on there so it would swing itself around and miss other things, and it landed perfectly exactly where I wanted it. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time. But I forget my own skill sets, but it was such a pleasure to do it. It was just fun. And then I went off to do another project and another project. I was, you know, life is... You get very effective and very efficient when you're where you are and what you're doing as though it's your idea.
Now, Shai's talking about embracing something that's a task that was requested of him. So it's no longer a request. It's something that he's embracing doing. I also know that there are circumstances that come up in all of our lives. Somebody who's a loved one who gets ill, losing a loved one, losing a job, circumstances in our lives that do not feel
as though they're our idea.
So let's talk briefly.
Certainly wouldn't be our preference.
That's right. Let's talk about the three principles of instantaneous transformation, then we'll take our first caller.
See, anything you disagree with, don't want, don't like, say no to.
Don't prefer and invest in that preference.
Dominates your life.
It wakes you up at night.
It grows stronger. It becomes what your conscious thought is mostly about.
Have you ever heard the term, you're preoccupied? It's your preoccupation. A lot of you wonder why you don't get enough done at work. And this is a hint for those of you who are coming to transformation in the workplace in Hamburg early October, and even if you're not. You may be preoccupied.
Complaining about something you might have to do and that you don't want to do as though it's your idea.
Or about some situation in your life, perhaps even unrelated to work, that you don't like or don't want or wish would be different.
Right. So the first principle is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and it's what you talk about, complain about mostly. Second principle. No two things can occupy the same moment of now at the same time. So you can only be as you are in this moment of your life. In this moment, you could only be listening to this podcast slash radio show.
It's like a snapshot of your life. I'm getting an image again. I was going through some photos I took the other day. I took some really spectacular photos of purple hummingbirds feeding on a flower while in Costa Rica. But my camera shutter speed was not fast enough at that moment when I took the image to freeze the hummingbird wings. So the hummingbird wings are a blur. And I've taken lots of hummingbird photos over time, and I prefer
the blur,
the non-blur. I like to see all the detail of the wing frozen in a moment of time. In that moment, my shutter speed could only be what it was.
And so you could have only had a blur.
I cannot go back and make it different. Things in any instant of time are all exactly as they are and no different.
And exactly as they were and cannot be changed. So working on yourself to try to fix what you think went wrong once in your past really doesn't work. It just wastes the current moment of your life.
But third principle, anything you see without judging completes itself in an instant.
So if you see that you've been working on yourself, it's over in the moment you see it if you don't badger yourself for having done it.
You know, in the case of this photo, I don't now have to make a declaration to myself about how to do it differently in the future. I have the information. It's done. It's complete. It's over. And now, as I'm doing new photos in this moment, well, not this moment because I'm talking to you, but I just have that knowledge already incorporated. In the change modality, you have to see what you did wrong, make a declaration of how to do it better in the future, and move forward to that goal. With transformation, awareness, the simple seeing is enough to transform the quality of your life and your ability to function in it.
And it transforms the quality of your life going forward and back in time.
Yes.
So you don't have to work on anything in the past. Its past is already over. And what happened in the past was perfect because it brought you to this moment.
We have a caller who's been patiently waiting. Let's take her. Hi, Joan. Where are you calling in from today?
Hi, I'm calling from New Jersey. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Nice to hear your voice.
Again.
Thank you. What I wanted to ask you, I feel like you're kind of answering for me with everything that you've said so far. I wanted to talk about the fact that what really overwhelms me is having to do things that are out of my comfort zone, and instead of just jumping in and doing it, I tend to become immobilized by knowing I have to do it and procrastinating and finding other things to do that are more comfortable. And it's frustrating, and I get angry with myself because then I feel like I've wasted my time, and goes on and on.
Joan, you sound incredibly normal. You know, this is the way people function. So there's nothing wrong with you for being that way. The thing is this, awareness is the key, Joan. If you see that you're hesitating, you can jump.
I have a question for you, Joan. I know you've occasionally come to Mondays or to seminars with us. Did you ever pick up a copy of our book, How to Have a Match Made in Heaven?
Yes, but I started reading it, but I did not complete it.
No worries. If you have a copy of it around, I'd go back to it just and look at the beginning of it. There's a whole, you know, a lot of people think relationship is all about
somebody
figuring
else.
Out how to relate or have a love relationship with somebody else. But we have an entire section in there about being kind to yourself. And I know we are having a conversation now, but, you know, we're having it with you. And by nature of that, everybody who's listening to you is likely to be getting a lot from this. But when we are all in our minds on the spot, it's harder to hear things. And as you're talking about things that you have to do, and how frustrated you are with yourself. You're not neutrally observing that you find things that are outside of your comfort zone challenging. You are berating yourself for not getting to it sooner.
Well, you have an idea that you should be different than you are, and that would be a better you. See, a better you do that thing.
And
look, a better me should have taken down that tree the day Ariel asked me to, not a week later. But there were so many other things happening in my life, and as soon as I had an opening, it became available to do. But to berate myself for not doing it before serves no good purpose.
True.
And I also have a feeling that, you know, when Shai said to you, you sound really normal, you may think that Shai and I never have...
We're normal too.
That we don't back off from things that are not in our comfort zone. I was just thinking about that this morning. Shai and I used to have a rather large boat. We would trailer it behind our SUV up to Cape Cod. We would go out to go fishing. Once we got out to go fishing, I really loved it. But it usually required going through breakers and an area that my mind perceived as...
Dangerous.
You could go aground. You could tip over. It was bumpy. It was, for me, scary. And I was just thinking today about, I have a similar mindset regarding our little boat on the Delaware River. And Shai has invited me to go out with him on the Delaware. And I was noticing how I hadn't jumped forward with the same alacrity as if he had said, hey, you want to go
for a walk.
And I'm noticing it as a phenomena. And I also noticed, interestingly enough, that some of my more vibrant memories of our time together have included when I've stepped past those things I've conceived of as dangerous or frightening and stepped into those activities. But I'm not making a declaration that at 3 p.m. today, I am now going on the boat. I am, of course, letting Shai know this in this conversation, so he's likely to invite me and we're likely to go.
We have the pre-record at 3 p.m.
I know,
we can't do it today.
But tomorrow we're free, so if the
weather permits.
But it really isn't about berating myself for how I've been. It's about looking at what I want right now.
And right now, we've got to go to a break. Can you come back with us after the break, Joan?
Sure, of course.
Awesome. Great.
We'll be back with Joan, so come on back.
And don't miss being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shai Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Hey, welcome back to Being Here.
Welcome back, and a quick shout out to all of you who are coming to our Leadership, Communication, and Wellbeing Immersion course in Costa Rica in January of 2020. You're either coming for 1 week or you're coming for two. This week was the second payment due date for all those of you who are coming, and it was so much fun to see everybody's communications and names come through, and we got to touch base with what an amazing group of people
will be joining us in Costa Rica this winter. And you're welcome to join us, but there are prerequisites. The primary prerequisite is that you attend the weekend workshop with us in New York City or Hamburg, Germany.
Or in New Jersey. And we have three coming up.
In New York City, we have The Power of Listening, September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's a Friday night, Saturday, and a Sunday.
I'm so happy we're doing that course.
Yes.
I am. And it's great. It's toward the beginning of re-gearing up for school, for work, after summer vacation. You're invited.
Then we go to Hamburg, Germany.
We do two courses there. The first is on Friday, The Freedom to Breathe, where we use breath as a tool to access the moment. And then a course that they've been asking us for there for years, we are finally doing Transformation in the Workplace on Saturday and Sunday. It's an investment in the possibility of having work be productive, effective,
and satisfying.
And satisfying.
And then in New Jersey, in November, November 8th, 9th, and 10th, we're doing a seminar called Being in Nature, and we've rented a camp, a summer camp, that will not be have any summer children there. It will have us.
It'll be a sleepaway camp for big kids the height of the turning of the leaves here
in
New Jersey.
It's catered by the
facility,
and it's going to be fun.
You can find out about any and all of our seminars on our website. To find out more and register, just go to transformationmadeeasy.com. We are speaking to the lovely Joan. How you doing, Joan?
I'm fine.
That's great. You know, you can either notice there are things that you're dragging your feet about, or you can berate yourself about those. And if you berate yourself, you're actually increasing
the likelihood that you'll do it again, because you're punishing yourself rather than just noticing it.
Anything you resist repeats, gets stronger, lasts longer. Anything you see without judging completes itself in an instant.
Outside
right.
of time.
By the way, I don't know your schedule or interest, but it would be lovely to see you in person again sometime soon.
I do want to get there. I will definitely try. It's a little hard on Monday nights, but I definitely want to go.
Well, if there's first of all, I know you live in New Jersey, so if that's of interest to you, and, you know, any of the weekends, you have friends who'd be more than happy to carpool with you, too.
Yes, I know. I know that. They're very wonderful.
Takes one to know one. Or as they say in Germany, Zelba Zelba.
I like that.
Hey, thanks for calling in. We have another caller.
Again, lovely to hear your voice.
Yes.
Thank you so much. That was very helpful. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We appreciate it, too. I'm sure it's going to resonate with many of the listeners today. Let's take our next caller. Show. Yes. You're welcome. We have Dave. He's in Manitoba, Canada. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to hear you guys.
Nice to hear you, too. What can we do for you?
I really like calling into these shows. It's a point of contact and connection for me to you guys and to the community, and I just love it. So I want to thank you for that opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome, and we're looking forward to calling in to your co-led meetup on Sunday. I know Jen in Kansas City is hosting a meetup. We hear you're the co-host, even though you're in Manitoba. It's going to be a Zoom international video. So we look forward to seeing you on Sunday night.
Yeah, we're both very excited that you guys are joining us.
That being said, do you have a question?
Or is there something you want
to talk about?
Great.
Yeah. So my question is, I notice often when there's something happening in my life that I say I don't like or don't want, I've started to play this little game with myself where I stop when I notice it and ask myself why I don't want it or what I actually want. It's been really fun to do that because then other possibilities open up for me in those situations. But there tends to be one persistent situation where I find it more challenging, and it's in relation to my ex-wife, and now I think it's time to put some different boundaries in place for myself. But the question that holds me back is knowing if I'm speaking out of being upset or not, and how that might be influencing the way that I communicate with her and my ability to listen to her.
Right. So I'm still not quite clear about what you're asking.
I think you want us to endorse what you're planning to do, and you're not giving us enough information so that
we can respond in a way that will support you.
Ah, gotcha. So there tends to be a consistent disagreement between us about it's either relating to money or our kids. And the way that we communicate with each other it's more often than not, it's a fight.
Well, it takes two to fight. It takes one to end the fight. And it always has to be you, which you don't like to know, because you would prefer it to be some mutual agreement not to fight. But it's not going to come that way.
And it's irritating that you're the one who seems to have to always give up the battle. It's like, why the hell can't she be doing it for once?
Yes.
Yes.
The other thing is, I want to back up.
So just let me say something.
Okay.
There's a hesitation between when we say something and you respond. And that hesitation is you thinking about it, and then you say, okay, yes.
Well, you came into this conversation with a hesitation. When this gets archived, I recommend you listen to the show. You are going to see you're not even asking your question as if it's your idea. There's a quality of sitting back.
I have a feeling. Well, here's the thing. If the fight could end forever tomorrow, would that be okay? Don't answer too quickly, because I think the only way you've known how to relate to this person is through a fight from the very beginning of the relationship.
You are correct, yes.
You see? So
the other thing, and this was the thing that I wanted to touch on from earlier, you say we fight about money
and the children.
And the children. And no, those are the two canvases upon which the fight is played out.
Or painted on.
You actually think you're fighting about money or you're fighting about the children.
But it's not that. There's an underlying fight that exists between you two and always has. In fact, that's what attracted you to her. And her to you.
Yeah, you're right.
Because when you got together, that was love.
Right. Now, look, if you grew up in a family that had...
contentious disagreements.
Yes, a tumultuous relationship. It was where I was going with it.
Stress between the partners.
Then that was your model for love. Then you will search out a woman who will behave that way with you because it's familiar.
Yeah.
When Shai and I first got together, there we go. It's his.
Say what you want to say.
Fall
and let the words fall out. Honestly.
Turn the ringer. There we go. You got it.
Good.
He forgot to turn his cell phone ring off.
Probably spam.
Probably spam.
I've been getting Oriental women talking to me in my spam.
In some kind of language. We're not sure what.
I'm not sure whether it's Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Taiwanese. I don't know.
It's very interesting.
Anyway.
When we first got together, Shia had an ex-wife. He'd been divorced for a couple of years before we met, and two children, my stepkids, who are now adults, but at the time they were children. And there was lots of different tensions in that relationship. And it's very interesting now that our kids, Barbara and Leo, Barbara is his ex, Leo is her husband. They live in California. Our son still lives in California. His daughter, Hannah, lives there. Diana, our daughter, lives in Brooklyn, but she was out visiting with her husband and two kids for their birthday. And I just had this inspiration. I can either send them money, go out and buy something. We could sit, you know, go shopping for gifts and get them something. But instead, we did a 10-person
dinner
for them. We had sent for them foodstuffs that they really loved,
but would never give to themselves.
Something that that Barbara and Leo and the whole family could be a part of. And it gave me so much pleasure to honor that part of the family, that she is indeed their mother. And I have a feeling that you do not want to endorse her, anything about her, because you're fighting with her.
Yeah, you're right.
What does it cost you?
It feels like, well,
what does it cost you?
Right, I guess.
That's all. But what does being right cost you? Oh, we're having this conversation. That's what it costs you.
Well, it certainly eats a lot of your mental hard drive.
Right. It eats a lot of your life.
But also, you're not then just being with your kids. You have to be on some level competing to be the better parent to prove to them you're right. That can't be healthy for the kids either, because your
actions are no longer pure. They're manipulated to try to win a fight rather than allow your kids to feel loved and nurtured just being around you.
Yeah.
And you know, kids are little devils. They know if there's any imbalance, they're going to work that. So they're going to try and get you to...
And there's another thing. Your kids want you and your ex-wife to get back together.
That was one of the things Diana told us really later in life. She was coming to seminars with us. She was an adult, and she was becoming pretty aware of herself. And she said, "I have something to confess to you. I knew Mom and Leo... we're really a match. I know that you two are really a match. I don't know, Dad, how you and Mom stayed together as long as you did, because you were so absolutely different. But that didn't mean that I didn't do disruptive things as a kid, because I wanted what I wanted, and I wanted my parents back together."
So this fight, David, may be creating more problems for you than you know in other areas of your life.
By the way, I'm going to switch gears away from your problem, because it's not problem-solution. Our approach is anthropological. And I noticed the other night I got hooked by something, someone I was disagreeing with who, you, when I want to disagree with that person, that they are a convenient
distraction
from what's up. You talked about calling into the show and how you love that and how it's a point of connection for you. And I'm really happy to hear that. That's great. And I know you're doing this meetup. You're co-leading it. But I think it is time for you to be the community leader that you are and create points of connection where you live so that you have other like-minded people to be supportive of you, to help create that tuning fork hum of possibility in close proximity to you, not just in the UK, not just in the New York, New Jersey area, not just in Canada. You have a lot of people who love you, who you invest in, who you love. And I'm sure there are people at home that's true for as well. But I think you're a little more shy than you know. So you can use this, quote, problem with your kids to invalidate your experience of you, so you don't have to get out there and be self-expressive about any and all parts of your life with people in your immediate community.
Yeah, then you can work on your, quote, problems and not be this great man that you are, which is challenging.
Oh, thank you.
Because even your solution, which you're finding fun, and I'm happy that you're finding fun, is dangerously close to working on yourself.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, the, oh, why do I not want this? The whole introspective thing, that's all fine, but you can fall into a mental conversation. And if you go back, when this gets archived, you're going to see that as we speak, you're getting more and more in real time, as opposed to being lost in an internal conversation that is a gap between you and your environment.
Look, it all comes down to giving up being right, by the way. That's the primary thing, man. If you can give up being right, your love life will improve, your experience of living, of communication, of well-being will all improve dramatically beyond what you can imagine. And now we're going to go to a break. Hey, thank you so much for calling in today.
Really a treat speaking with you, and we get to see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Hope to see some of your friends with you as well. Why not?
Yes,
live large.
Too.
All right, have a great day. We'll be back, everyone, so come on back.
And don't miss being here.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious. And being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, You can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening. We have some shout-outs for folks who've been listening to the show, or at least the cities where they're listening from.
And some of these cities are difficult for me to pronounce.
Would you want to do the orange ones?
No, you do the orange ones.
The first one is Nampa, Idaho, and I'm wondering if that's near where Catherine lives. We'll be seeing her on Sunday at the Kansas. She's calling in from Idaho for the Kansas City meetup.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Newport News, Virginia.
Owatonna, Minnesota.
Kexpro, England.
Kiel, Germany.
Cambridge, England.
And Luleå.
Luleå,
Sweden.
Regardless of whether or not we pronounced it exactly correctly, we are grateful that you're listening.
Yeah, we really are grateful that you're listening. It's a pleasure to be communicating with you out there in our huge world.
By the way, our last book or latest book, Being Here Too, is written not only by the two of us, but it's short stories written by different people in our community from all over the world, just like you. It is so touching. And if you haven't picked up a copy, highly recommend you do it. It's available on any of the Amazons, or you can order through your local bookstore. Being Here .. You can look at it also on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com/beinghere2. That's T-O-O. All right, we have a caller. We have Benedict holding. You're in Cologne, Germany. Are you visiting Cologne today?
I think Benedict lives
there. Oh, no, I live in Cologne.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting you have a long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
When she gets that way, Benedict, you got to worry. You might be moving to Switzerland.
You moved me, yes.
But she's kind of psychic that way, you know?
It happens every once in a while. What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah. It's been great just listening to you. It's been a joy. Spoke to me a lot, especially what you talked to Joan about. I'm somewhat in the same situation at the moment.
You got to remind us.
Which part of what we talked to Joan about?
Yeah, what specifically are you talking about? Because we said a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. It's the having to do stuff that might be challenging, and then not doing it, and procrastinating, and berating myself.
Yes.
Such a fun activity, isn't it?
Well, you know, I have a project in my basement because a while ago we had solar power put into our house, and then we had, at some point later on, we had batteries by Tesla, the car manufacturer, installed in the basement near the circuits of the electric board. And there were some workbenches that I had up against the wall that were moved and no longer fit in that area. So as a project, I thought to cut them down so they would fit in the space that was left behind. Only problem is I just didn't get to it until I started doing some other things. Like I finished taking down the tree in the backyard and I thought, wow, what other project could I do? Well, let me get the basement cleaned up. And so that became the next project. When you start your engine, you know, when you start getting in motion to do things, then it's a lot easier to continue. It's as though the inertia of being still and not engaging keeps you from engaging. But once you start something, even a little step will move you in the direction of completion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I have noticed for myself, Benedict, that if I'm less than engaged in the activities I have around the house, I may be resisting something else. Like, for instance, Shai and I have a certain rhythm of completion to things. He's been talking about it today. We're in our generally our usual type of rhythm of completion and handling tasks. But after my mom died in the spring and then I got sick, there was a lackadaisical quality for me in regards to completing things. So it's also possible that you may be resisting something not related to the task at hand that your energy is being invested in. For me, that not wanting it to have happened or the grieving process or whatever, however you want to quantify it, I recognized that that event and how I related to it did affect other seemingly non-related things. So it's also possible that there are things in your life that you don't want to look at or that you're resisting, and it gets played out upon something you're apparently resisting doing.
You know, if you were to do everything that there was to do without resisting it, there's this idea that there won't be anything left to do.
Yep. What will I do then?
You know, it's as though we have the idea we need problems, and if our problems all were to be gone, we'd be dead.
Yeah.
You know, having things to do, apparently to our mind,
it's like problems.
It keeps us alive.
That's right. There's this great line in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, the movie with Paul Newman and Burl Ives. And Burl Ives is saying, I have all this stuff. And he was in their basement and he had all these antiques that he collected in Europe and he had all this stuff. And somehow I think having this stuff is keeping me alive.
Well, it's similar to problems.
And it's similar to projects done that you're resisting doing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. What am I going to do if I'm done with all my tasks? Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
And life becomes a creative act. Shai said something at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you were listening yet. He said, I have to keep reinventing myself around listening. Well, listening is not the only place where he reinvents himself daily. If you're here, life is a creative act. If you
are in your thoughts, well, that's a different story.
It's a repetitious act.
Yes, because then it's same old, same old. Because your thoughts repeat themselves every day. You have the same thoughts you had the day before. At least 95% of your thoughts are the same ones you had the day before. And 80% of your thoughts are negative. So, man, you don't stand a chance.
You know, when I was a kid, there weren't very many television stations and there weren't that many television shows. And there was a show on in the afternoons or whatever called Gilligan's Island. And I used to watch that show and I liked it. And then as I grew, I liked it less. And then as I grew, all there were reruns. So all I was doing was watching reruns of a show I didn't like that much, but it was the only programming
Well, available. That's a lot like our minds.
It seems to be the only programming available, so we're going to, you know, watch the show.
We listen to it, we watch it, and we complain about it, but we watch it over and over. And we even know what we're going to say. You know, the lines, we've learned them. It's like the Rocky Horror Show. People go to it and they sing along with the movie.
Yeah, we went to a wedding this weekend and they were playing music and we were dancing to it. And of course, I didn't know a lot of the words for some of the songs, but some of the songs I knew the words. And of course, you know, if you know the words, you sing along. That's half the fun. But it's like we've been pre-programmed with the thoughts we had yesterday, the thoughts we had the day before that, and then we keep reenacting them. Or you can get to living your life like it's your idea.
See, and when you live your life like it's your idea, everything is new. It's all an adventure.
Yeah.
You see some? So I have this.
Say it again.
It's such a powerful idea for me.
Yes.
Live life as if it's my idea. Yeah.
But it's a more powerful experience as opposed to idea when you actually start taking on your life as though it's what you want to do rather than what you have to do. And
yeah,
most people think they have to go to work.
Mm. You know, it's funny. We've been at the Skyline Hotel leading our Monday nights and weekends for a number of years now, and there's a fellow who is at the parking garage, and as part of our renting there, we get free parking. So we park there, and we've become friendly with Felix. And I underestimated that Felix did not speak English very well. I left something in the car. They allowed Shia to go down into the parking garage and retrieve it. And Felix and I were standing there and, you know, chatting as much as our
language
very loud. And he said to me, do you have your show tonight? Do you have a show tonight? And I realized he was talking about the Monday Night Alive seminar. And I said, yes. And he said, well, what's your show about? And I realized people come into New York City to go see Broadway shows. People come to our seminars and they come out and they hand their ticket. They're always so happy to come out and they're so friendly with him. He sees it as a show. And I told him the show was about, and I looked him in the eye and I looked at what he wanted to hear. And I said, it's about listening. It's about loving where you are and doing what you're doing. It's about being here and being satisfied with your life. And he said, oh, that's wonderful. So we brought him down.
A Spanish version of how to create,
how to have a
match made in heaven.
And then he's like, oh, I could learn English with this. And we said, oh, no, this is the Spanish version. So we had someone run back upstairs so he could have it and bring him down an English version so he could have both. But I think what's and he's going to use it to not.
He said he would do 4 pages a day.
Super sweet. But I love that we don't have to go to work. We're delighted. In case you don't know, we're at work right now talking to you. This is not a hardship. This is a highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And with my work, it's the same. I love going to work. Well,
do you love cleaning your toilet? Do you love doing your dishes? Do you love being in traffic? Do you love standing in the bank? Your life can be a successive series of loves.
But you got to be willing to be where you are in this moment. You know, I have a little problem with people who drive too slowly. You know, you get on a country road and you can't really pass them. And it's a 50-mile speed limit here. And they're doing 30. And I have to remind myself to slow down and relax and allow my life to dictate how I experience life. And when I allow life to dictate it, then as though it's my idea, then it's satisfying. if I complain to myself about this person who doesn't know how to drive, they must be from a different area and they don't know where they're going. And I come up with all the reasons why they're driving 20 miles under the speed limit. It's not a very satisfying drive.
And you know what's neat? It's a moment-to-moment choice. You can see it and move on, or you can be right.
Right. So, look, thank you for calling in, Benedict.
Really a treat speaking with you
today. Yeah.
What a great work day we're having.
Thanks. Yes, it is.
You're so welcome. We're heading to the end of the show. You know, if you want excellence in every aspect of your life, join us for a seminar. And if you enjoyed this show, share it with people. I enjoyed the show. I intend to share it.
Okay. Next week's show is Listening Your Way to the Moment.
Oof, that's awesome.
So
we'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being
here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.